The Old Testament reading for today comes from Isaiah 50, 4 through 10. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James, chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has yet been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and the scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, and has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the child of the father cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is the epistle lesson from James. Shakespeare wrote a play, one of the few I actually could read and understand, and it was called The Taming of the Shrew. Gentlemen, do not go see the movie with your wife. She won't find it funny. But the main character in there is a woman named Kate. She's a headstrong, independent woman who basically tells everybody what she thinks. In this play, she has a beautiful younger sister named Bianca, and oh, the men of the village wanted to try to win her hand. But Daddy said, until Kate gets married, nobody can marry the younger daughter. So a stranger comes into the village, and they con him into marrying Kate, the shrew. Over time, he finally, I know this sounds terrible, over time, he tames Kate. I know this is according to standards in 1590. Be mad at Shakespeare, not me. He could tame this untamable woman. James is talking about the danger of the tongue. He calls it a fire. He calls it a world of iniquity. He calls it wicked, and he calls it evil. I think about 4 or 5 weeks ago, we had the gospel lesson from Matthew, where Jesus said, "It's not what goes into the mouth of a person that defiles him, but what comes out of their mouth that defiles them." You know, in many ways, we're known by our words. If I say the name Winston Churchill, what comes to mind? Pardon? Okay. How about these words? "We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be." Come on, anybody know the next words? "We'll fight them on the beaches. We'll fight them on the landing grounds. We'll fight them in the fields and in the streets. We'll fight in the hills. We shall never surrender." Those words Churchill spoke after the British army had been devastated in France. The men came back with absolutely no equipment. They had less than 100 tanks in England, and the Germans were sitting in France looking at them. His words inspired a nation to keep fighting. Our words define us. You know, somebody talks like a gang member, what do you think they are? There you go. If somebody talks in a knowledgeable way about a topic, do you think they know something about it? There you go. And if somebody's always looking down on people, they only see the bad in them. You know, that old children's rhyme, "Sticks and stones may break my bones." Okay, words, names will never hurt me. Well, words do hurt. Sometimes they're much worse than a hit. Oh, John, I got to pick on you. If I went up to John, which I'm not going to do, and I gave him a good slug in the arm, I'm guessing that's going to hurt for a little bit. All right? Might cause a bruise. In a year, is it going to hurt? No. Words, though, don't cause a physical wound, but they cause a wound that can go on for years. That untamed tongue can injure people. Do you ever think about it? The way we talk about others, how would we feel if they talked about us in the same way? I know a lot of other drivers would be calling me idiot. James talks about a bit that's put into a horse's mouth. You know that little piece of metal was about yay big? You put that in a horse's mouth and you can control this incredibly powerful animal with steel in its mouth. James also mentions the rudder of a ship. Now, this great and powerful ship is controlled by one man moving the wheel, which causes the rudder to go. Now, from an architectural standpoint only, the German battleship, the Bismarck, oh, is she a beauty. Her lines, her curves, the sweeping bow, I mean, she is just one pretty ship. That crew had been drilled, they knew their jobs, and they could hit their targets consistently. Do you know why the old Bismarck ended up in the bottom of the sea? Pardon? Yeah. Great and powerful battleship. Like I said, she was just a masterpiece of construction. The British put one torpedo near her rudder. Not a lot of damage, but it caused the rudder to move, and they couldn't straighten it back out. So as this mighty battleship is sailing desperately to get away from the Royal Navy, it takes a hit and begins to circle. That's all it can do is circle. A rudder controls everything. And James says our tongue is like that rudder. It's like that bit in a horse's mouth. And you know, just like the Bismarck's rudder, tongues can move us in places we don't want to go. Have you ever said something and wish you didn't? Every day, especially when I get, dear, do you like what I cook for supper? Getting. You realize a great forest fire begins with one spark, one match. I've held up a match and thought about that. One little match like that, you can't think long because it burns out. But you hold up a match. That little match there could start a fire to burn hundreds of thousands of acres of land. And James is saying the tongue has that same capability. Because what we say sometimes takes a life of their own. Because if I say something nasty about somebody, I tell, there you go, Randy. He's going to turn around and tell Jerry, I'm sure. And it's just going to keep going back. Story that in a church, one guy was spreading something he thought he had heard to everybody in the church. So everybody knew it very quickly. And then it was proven to be false. So he went up to the man that he'd been talking badly about, and he apologized for it. And he says, well, I really want to make amends for this. What can I do to make this better? And the man said, I got a bag of 100 feathers. I want you to put one feather on each porch and just keep going down the line. Okay, that's kind of a strange request. But the guy did it. He put a feather down, 100 houses, came back, and he says, and now what? Now go back and collect them. The guy looks at him and goes, we've got a good steady breeze out there. They're blowing all over the place. I don't think I can get them all. And the man says, exactly like your words. You can't take it all back. Good old electronic media today, social media. Good heavens, what people put on Facebook. You find out, you ever see these people that post like their personal lives on it and stuff like this? Like, what are you thinking? I like to see the recipes, but I'm completely a nerd. I got it. But people will put something nasty on Facebook, and they think, well, if I delete it, it's gone. Guess what? It's not. Because somebody shared it somewhere else, and it just keeps going out there. James also talks about the tongue. The tongue that praises God is the same tongue that we use to curse and hurt other people. And you think about these other people. The ones that our words are hurting. These are people that God said is so important to him that he would come, live amongst us, live the perfect life, die, and rise again to save them. And we let our little tongues wag. God calls us a holy people that are worth dying for. As a holy people, sometimes we have the most unholy of words. Think about that. When we speak ill of somebody, we're speaking ill of somebody that God says is important enough to die for. Excuse me. The eighth commandment. All right, quiz time. Eighth commandment.
Thank you, John. I'm sure others said it too. Shall not bear false witness against your neighbors. What happens if it's true? Are there real idiots in this world? Hey, it's got a legitimate dictionary definition, and some people, when you look at the definition in the dictionary, are idiots. All right? I'm convinced they're always in front of me in the highway, but that's beside the point. What happens if what I'm saying is true about somebody? Should I say it anyway? See, I love Luther's part in the explanation because he sort of addresses that. He says, always explain everything in the kindest way. I can look at it differently. And you know, I could say about that driver who just cut me off. All right, I could explain it. I'm guessing he was in a hurry and was distracted. I don't have to hurl all the words at him. And then the good old saying that your mother used to say, if you can't say anything nice. Right. So if it's true and you can't figure out a nice way to explain it, hush. Hush your mouth. We're called to tame our tongue, like the taming of the shrew that I talked about at the beginning. And then James tells us, guess what? The tongue cannot be tamed. Tame the tongue, but you can't. Now, if you think about it in movement, you may not actually think about moving your hand, because I think my hands have a life of their own and they move. My brain is sending a signal to the hand to move. But that tongue doesn't seem to have a lot of thought behind it sometimes. Haven't you ever found this, that your tongue moves like a Maserati, but your brain is like a smart car? John, it's a picture, though, you can think of. But that's the way it is. Our tongue just races out there and says these things before the mind is really in gear. You know, you can't put a bridle or a rudder on a tongue. But when it comes to taming the tongue, look at other people the way God does. That person is a child of God that he died for, and that they're precious enough to him that he died. That will begin the process of taming a tongue. Do you know what a quest is? It's not a question with half the letters missing. All right, a quest. This is something that you are searching for, and it takes a lot of work and a lot of time. I had a quest. When my first daughter was born, I wanted a copy of the song Snoopy and the Red Baron. Greatest Christmas hymn, a song of all times. You know that one, don't you? And I wanted it on tape year after year. Every store we went into when they had Christmas tapes and then CDs, I'm looking and looking and looking for it. I think it went on for like 12 years. And to me, Christmas Eve, you had to hear this song. And sometimes we heard it while we're driving, looking at Christmas lights. That was my quest. Every year, the same thing. And every year I failed. Until that strange thing called the internet took the fun right out of it. 10 minutes, boom, I had it. I guess I completed my quest. That quest, that drive, I'm going to do this. It's a constant process. That is what James is telling us to do with the tongue. It's a constant process to look at others the way that God looks at us. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds always focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.